I think we're in the 15th chapter. Am I right? Okay. I had good information given to me there. Proverbs 15. All right. We start out with marital counseling. Did y'all hear what I said? We start out with marital counseling. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Now I know that after a while, you learn those trigger words. And those trigger words come out, and they do exactly what they're designed to do. They trigger a wrathful response. And the next thing you know, you're into a knockdown, drag out fight. Is that true? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Be honest now. Yeah. Whereas God says, a soft answer turns away wrath. It would appear to me, in Romans, Paul said, heap coals of fire on their head. Well, that looks to me like the coals of fire is a soft answer. I'll tell you about the pastor that preached on heaping coals of fire on their head. And the lady went home and came back that night and said, Pastor, I wanted to tell you, said, what you said this morning sure does work. He said, what was that? He said, heaping coals of fire on their head. She said, I didn't have no coals of fire, but I had a skillet of hot grease. But I don't think that's what he meant. Anyway, a soft answer turns away wrath. And every time, all of us need to remember that. You stir it up. Grievous words stir up anger. And once it gets stirred up, it's hard to put it back. What they say, like putting toothpaste back in the squeeze tube? Can't hard to do it. God help us to remember this. You need to commit this to memory. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Try to remember that. Try to memorize that. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Well, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. Is there a way that you can use knowledge not right? Yes, there is. You can use knowledge to destroy somebody. So if you have knowledge, you need to use it aright. But now the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Now that word poureth, that word means, now listen to this, to emit a foul odor, belch out. The mouth of fools kick out a stink, a horrible stink, and they belch it out. Watch that. Watch that mouth, what it pours out of it. This could all have a bearing on every bit of it. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Now, kids, you need to hear this. You need to listen to this. You've been told by lots of people that there's a red-suited guy with a beard living up with the reindeers in the North Pole that knows everything. Well, you've been lied to. There isn't such a creature. But let me tell you what does exist is an omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent God. Amen. It means he has all knowledge, he has all power, and he's in every place at once. That's not a myth. That's not a so-called Christmas fairy tale. That is absolute, theologically, realistically, what is. And that's a God who is omnipresent. I don't understand that. You think my mind can comprehend that? My mind can't comprehend that. God being every place at once, how do you think I can comprehend that? I know it's true, but I don't understand all that. But I know it's true. And this is what it boils down to, what it means to us. The eyes of the Lord. Now, the Lord doesn't have eyes as we do. That's called an anthropomorphism. In figures of speech, that's what that's called. An anthropomorphism. That is ascribing a human characteristic to God. Now, we don't mean that literally because God is spirit. Not a spirit, he's spirit. His essence is he is spirit. And he doesn't have eyes as we do, but eyes of the Lord means that whatever our eyes do, it does it for God in every place. And his eyes are in every place, and that literally is in every place. You see, if there's one place in the universe that God's eyes aren't, then something could slip up on his blind side. And he doesn't have a blind side. He's God. And so he's beholding the evil and the good. So whatever it is you think you're getting away with, I say that to me too. Whatever I think I'm getting away with, it ain't nobody else around. Nobody else knows what's in my mind. I'm not getting away with it. Neither are you, because the Lord's eyes are in every place beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Well, you know, a tree of life in the book of the Revelation, it says that the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. And so a tree of life, a wholesome tongue is like a tree of life. A wholesome tongue means that you talk about the proper things, the godly things, things that are conducive to people coming closer to the Lord and getting themselves straightened out. That's a wholesome tongue. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. What is perverseness? Well, perverseness is twisted, distorted, viciousness. This is to every one of us. We need to understand that we are the ones who must control our tongues. What's James 3? The tongue is a little member, and yet it controls the whole body. And no man's ever tamed the tongue, No woman's ever tamed the tongue. Well, how can that tongue sing such sweetness and praises to the Lord and then turn around and vilify people who are made in the image of God? Perverseness is a breach in the spirit. That means a break in the spirit. Now that's small s, small spirit. That's your spirit. A wholesome tongue can promote growth, spiritual growth in you and another human being that you're having an effect on. But now a perverse tongue, you can destroy the spirit of that person that you're trying, you say you're trying to love and trying to help. Be careful. Say, Brother, how do you know to say all that? Because the Bible says right here. That's how I know to say all that. I didn't write this. Holy Spirit wrote this. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Well, ostensibly, how'd you like that word? A father would give nothing but proper instruction to his son or his daughter, even to his wife. But a fool despises that instruction. But he that regardeth reproof. Now, what is reproof? The Bible tells a pastor, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. What is reproof? Reproof kind of tells you what where you're wrong and how to correct it. Now, exhortation is encouraging to do it. But reproof, he that regardeth reproof is prudent. I've seen this back when I was running the painting crew. I'd pull a guy off the side. That was my job. I'm responsible for it. And I tell him, I want you to do what you're doing this way. You can't tell me how to. Yes, I can. This is my job, and I'm telling you how I want it done. Lester, you get somebody preparing a car for you. You tell them how to do it, tell them where they're doing it wrong. You either do it right or you get out of here. Yeah, hit the road. But now, you don't want to be an idiot, a fool, and not take instruction. Instruction that's reproving you is valuable. I don't know. I always appreciated somebody showing me the right way to do something. I mean, I really did. Hey, thank you. I mean, that saved me a lot of work. Saved me a lot of trial and error. And most of those trials result in errors. It costs you time and money and sweat. I want to know how to do it right, do it better. Absolutely. He that regardeth reproof is wise, prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Now, this is Hebrew poetry, and it's teaching by way of contrast. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenue, that's money, of the wicked is trouble. Well, in the house of the righteous, there may not be much money, but if it's a house that's in righteousness, the righteousness of God, there's much treasure in that, much to profit, much to learn, much to benefit from. But in the revenues of the wicked, well, where did those revenues come from? It does make a difference. People that lie, cheat, and steal, defraud, rob. It doesn't do them any good. You think it does? Watch them. I remember years ago, the house got broke into twice. Took about all my guns. Took a lot of stuff. You ever been broke into? You know what? And I know who did it. They never did arrest him for what this did, but you know how the boy ended up? He died of AIDS in a work farm down in southern Kentucky. I mean, he took brand new guns I had and stuff, you know, good stuff. Didn't last him any time. I've seen him steal big stuff and hawk it for a little bit. Haven't we, honey? Just a little bit. Then see how they end up. Well, they're broke the next day they hawk it because they didn't get anything out of it. Now they're on the lam. Now they're running from the law. Ain't no fun running from the law. And eventually they get you. And it's all over with then. And it's all that you've done. But you've still got it to face when you stand before Almighty God. You think you're done? Well, I paid my debt to society. Yeah, but you ain't paid it to God. Because you're going to stand before God at the white throne judgment. And you're going to hear it all brought before you. Because the eyes of the Lord are over every place. And beholding the evil as well as the good. So, let's see. On our southern border right now, because this so-called president has opened up the border, stopped the building of the wall, and they're running in by the hundreds of thousands, and those cartels are shipping their drugs. What'd you tell me that, what's that, fentanyl? One batch of that fentanyl is enough to kill thousands of human beings. And they're getting it in by droves. They can't stop them. Do you think he wanted to get some there in the White House? Is that why he's making it so available? Maybe all of them's on drugs. That must be. They wanting it in here for everybody else. So all this stuff that they're doing, got all of this cash. I saw someone, I don't know, it was Lexington or someplace, they recovered so many hundreds of thousands of dollars in drugs, cocaine, and in cash money. Now you know where that money came from. Some idiot that didn't have enough sense but got himself on drugs, or herself. They've stolen everything they could get from their parents and from anybody else they can get to. Buying that little fix of drugs, and now they're begging for it again. Selling their bodies, selling everything they've got to get the little drugs. That's where that money came from. Oh boy, I'd like to have all that. I tell you what, you probably ought to leave that alone. That's blood money. And it sure ain't doing anybody any good. It might for about 15 minutes. But even when it's all over, and not very many of those people live very long, do they? Somebody gets them out and blows, because they owe them some more money. And they blow them away, put their body in a trash can, throw it in the river or something. Last you ever see of them. Well, at least it's over for them. That's just what you think. It's not over for them. They left this life, but they're not in non-existence. They'll stand before God at the white throne judgment, and they'll be judged for every evil thought, every evil deed. Amen. So it's not over, not at all. Anyway, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. I assume that's good knowledge. But the heart of the foolish doeth not so. You listen to a foolish person, it ain't worth hearing. You can get some people on the phone, and you can lay the phone down, go on and do what you're going to do. Come back, pick it up. Yeah, that's right. Okay. They don't even know you've been gone. Some people are laughing. They know what I'm telling is truth. It's because what they're saying don't amount to a hill of beans anyway. It's foolishness, waste of breath. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. When I'd sit in Brother Braun's classes, in all my classes, I'm on the front row. I'm right in front of the teacher's desk. So, well, you're just kind of sucking up to the teacher. No, I don't want to hear the fools behind me. I want to hear what the professor has to say, because that's what matters. And I've told them in classes, I ain't sacrificing to come over here and listen to your opinion. I want to hear what the professor's got to say, especially a man like Roscoe Braun. I'm going to concentrate on every word. And he's also the one that makes out the test that I have to pass. It's been, whenever I got that ticket down there coming out of the tunnel, Cumberland Gap, we'd been to Florida, and I drove right straight back from Key West, Florida to Lexington, Kentucky, without stopping and getting out of the car and sleeping. That's a pretty good drive. I'd been held up in Tennessee, 35-mile-an-hour speed limits and all that. 3 o'clock in the morning, I come through that tunnel at Cumberland Gap, and that road down there, I get up to 55, and there's a cop. It's still 35 down. It had a setup there, trap. Anyway, I went and paid my fine and all that. But I had to go to, I went to traffic school. That keeps the points off your license. And so I take my notebook and my pencil, and I go down there. It was on Walnut Street then. And I go up there in that room, that big room, police station. Big room, big courtroom. Lots of people in there, and there's a teacher. I don't know who it was. I thought, well, I'm going to use this. Maybe I can learn something here. I don't get an opportunity to go to many classes. I like to go and try to learn something. I'm going to take notes and all that. You couldn't hear the teacher for the idiots in that class running their mouths. Why does everybody think everybody wants to hear what everybody's got to say? Full of themselves, that's what. And all it is a bunch of trash. Idiocy. Doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Anyway, I told it. Instructor, I said, it's a waste of time. I thought I could learn something. No, I don't know how you do it. He gets paid for it. And anyway, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Now there's your contrast. The sacrifice of the wicked and the prayer of the righteous, the upright. Well, now, the sacrifice of the wicked would be his religious operations. What he does for religion. And what is it to the Lord? Abomination. You mean to tell me it doesn't accomplish anything? Just adds fuel to his fire. More iniquity on top of iniquity. It's abomination unto the Lord. Actually makes the Lord sick, if it can be possible. That's the sacrifice of the wicked. Say, well, at least they're going to church. Now, wait a minute. You probably ought to rethink that statement. Well, I know it's not a sound church. I know it's a heretic church, but at least they're going to church. I've heard that one time. I've heard it a million times. At least they're going to church. No, that ain't right. Because the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. Okay? The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. Not only his sacrifice, but his way, the way he travels, is abomination unto him. We had given out our food stuff. The old fella, he said, I serve the Lord in a different way than y'all do. Had a beer in his hand. Yeah, you sure do. I serve the Lord a different way than you all do. I don't know who you're serving, but that's not how you serve my Lord. Anyway, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. And where do you find out righteousness? In the Word of God. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. And he that hateth reproof shall die. Well, correction is grievous. Oh, chapter 1 of Proverbs. Look back there real quick. In verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. See, it didn't say after you get all your knowledge, then do that. No. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you don't fear the Lord, you ain't never begun yet. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wisdom and instruction. Well, now we get back here in chapter 15, verse 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Well, chapter 1, it said you're a fool if you despise, discount correction or instruction. The indication is, if you don't like being corrected, now understand this. If I tell you that you're wrong on something, then I need to show you from the Word of God where it is wrong. You're not wrong because it's something that I don't like. You hear that? It's not wrong because I don't like it. There's a lot of stuff I don't like. But that doesn't mean everybody's wrong to like what I don't like. What determines what's wrong and what's right is the Word of God. If it's wrong, it's because God says it's wrong. If it's right, it's because God says it's right. And that's true for parents and all of us. And he that hateth reproof shall die. You need to kind of be careful how you get out there in that car, on that motorcycle. You need to pay attention to the rules of the road. Right? You know, I know people got their own opinions about this. I get on the interstate and I see 70 miles an hour. And I set my cruise control maybe just a hair under 70. I run the speed limit. Boy, I have them trying to run over top of me. I'm in the slow lane. And they're up behind me pushing on my bumper, trying to run me off the road, and they come by. And I guess they're waving at me. I don't know, but they're... like old Beverly Hillbilly. They got a funny way of waving high, don't they? Well, So if I want to break the speed limit, I'll break it. Go ahead and do it. You got two other lanes to do it. You ain't going to force me to do it. I don't care how big a semi it is. They ain't big enough to make me break the speed limit. I try to get out of people's way, especially a semi. But I'm not going to run 90 miles an hour on that road. You say, well, everybody else is doing it. Everybody else does a lot of things. I'll tell you what. If they're all running 90 and I'm running 80, that cop can pull me over for doing 80 because I'm breaking the speed limit. And he doesn't owe me an explanation as to why he didn't pull everybody else over. I was breaking the law. And I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do my best. Every now and then it gets away from me. Get that cruise control and it goes downhill or something. But I try to correct it as quick as I can. I don't intend to break the speed limit. And you know what? On any road you're on, we run that old road there between Nicholasville and here. Some of it's 35 miles an hour. Some of it's 45. A few places it's 55. If you're within the speed limit on any given road, most things that happen, you can control it. You don't have to have a deadly wreck. Called accident would be an accident. Somebody just recently got killed in a car in Lexington on a road I can't believe that they did. And they said that was the second time recently. You remember where that was, Dave? I mean, it's like West High Street. I think it's where it was. You come down that viaduct and come up on High Street. You got a hill and you got a curve. How do you die right there? I'll tell you how. Put your foot in it. That's how. Think you can handle it. You can't handle it. You ain't no better than nobody else. He sure found out a little too late. But he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? Hell and destruction. You see, God knows what he does. His wrath and his judgment. And hell is a place prepared for Satan and his angels, and lots of people are there. And then ultimately they'd be in the lake of fire. The Lord knows what's going on there. He said, well, doesn't his heart of compassion take over? Oh, no. He's God of judgment. God of wrath. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? If you don't think the Lord knows what's going on in your heart, you're wrong. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. Okay. Well, it says that one that forsakes the way, correction is grievous to him. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. Boy, it says a whole lot about people that won't receive reproof and instruction. Well, I don't like you telling me about the Word of God there. Really? People come to me, I want to know what to do about such and such case. Well, let me tell you this. You want me to counsel with you, it's going to be from the Word of God. I'm not going to counsel with you from my head. I'm going to give it to you from the Word of God. Well, I already knew that. Well, then do it. If you already know it, put it into practice. Anyway, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. You know, there's some people that have a lot of wisdom, and they know what the Word of God says. But do you think a scorner will go to one of them? Oh, no. Misery loves company, and he'd get with all of his buddies that are idiots just like him and fools just like him, and they'll all console one another with their foolishness. And they're all liable to end up dead. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Now that's small spirit, small s. That's the individual spirit. We have a spirit. God's spirit. That's capital S spirit, this little spirit. The Bible says that God's face is against those that do evil. I do not like to look at somebody who's got an angry countenance on their face. I know I do it. But it ain't very pleasant to look at. It really isn't. And that's an indication that heart is not merry. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. And for the most part, I know we be angry and sin not. I know that. But for the most part, as a child of God, I'm to have a merry heart. Now I understand. People like Job, people like the beggar Lazarus. I doubt that you would see much merry heart coming out of them. Not saying that you wouldn't at all. I think Paul, the Apostle Paul, he's an example. Is he not, with what he went through? Read the book of Philippians. He's in jail as he writes it. And see how many times he says, rejoice. And again I say unto you, rejoice. You know why he can say that? Being beaten, imprisoned, nothing going for him in this world at all. Rejected by his people. And he can write back to some believers and say, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. The word of God cannot be bound. How can he do that? It's because he's got a merry heart. Because he knows whom he's serving. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. When you see somebody, they've got no life or countenance of the countenance of their face, and they're just down because their spirit's been broken over something. And you're not going to help them by getting mad at them. Need to show them a little merry heart. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. Do you have understanding? Well, if you do, you're thirsting after knowledge. And I assume that's knowledge from the Word of God or knowledge of truth. And there's lots of truths, and they don't contradict the Word of God. No truth contradicts the Word of God. You know, the word, thy word is truth, and sanctify them through thy truth. And so that knowledge, that one that has understanding is seeking after. But the mouth of fools, feeding on foolishness. You know what? Old farmers know this. if you got a hog that's rooting up your ground, you put a ring in her nose. Then they can't root up your ground. Everybody know what I'm talking about? How come I see men and women with rings in their nose? Have they been rooting up ground? Somebody put that there to stop them from rooting up ground? I mean, that's the only thing I know you could do with a ring in your nose. Why would anybody want a ring in their nose? Or a bull, you hook that line to it, that snap hook, hook it to that ring. And guess where you can lead that bull? Anywhere you want it to. Because he can't stand that pulling on that nose. I don't understand why a human being would want none of the nose, do you? I kid that doctor, Brother Tim, would cut that cancer out of my head there. I said, I'll never again say I need that like I need a hole in the head. Because he gave me a hole in the head. And it's still there. I don't need another hole in the head. Mm-mm. Anyway. All the days of the afflicted are evil. Now, I am not 100% sure the extent of that afflicted. Is that somebody afflicted with a handicap, mentally, physically? I don't know. Or are they afflicted because of their sin? I tend to think that's what it is. But every day is evil with them. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Now, I don't think they're gorging food constantly. But the idea of a feast is that it's a happy time. And you have good food, but you have good fellowship, and everything is going nice. It's a feast. That's nice. You go to your brother's house and have a cookout, and everybody's talking. It's been a nice time. I've never seen one of those ever turn out bad. You're always sad to leave because, well, we had such a good time and everybody talked and just, you know, we showed our love and affection for everybody, met new people, and everything was just wonderful. Don't you love those times? Amen. I don't want to be around a so-called picnic or something where everybody starts fussing and fighting. I don't want to be there. So he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. He don't have to go to a feast to have a feast. His life is a feast because he's got a merry heart. He ain't always up in the air about something. Better is, these all kind of go together, don't they? Better is little, a scoshy bit. With the fear of the Lord, than great treasure and trouble therewith. Don't take much when you're with the Lord, the fear of the Lord, to have a decent time. But great treasure, I tell you what, even great treasure that's been gotten honestly. People who are filthy rich, do you know the biggest thing on their minds is keeping somebody from getting their money and getting more money? You take George Soros, you take what's her names with all of the Facebook owners and all of that stuff. Now there's that Gates, somebody, what's his name? Bill Gates. Richest man in the world, supposed to be. And now his wife sued him for divorce. You know what's on his mind? To keep her from getting more of his money than he wants her to have. You know what's on her mind? Getting more of it than she's supposed to have. You say, I don't know how he got it. I don't know whether you get that much money by doing it all honestly or not. I think he must have made some deals somewhere along the way that he's going to have to give account for. But I tell you what, it ain't all smooth sailing with all that money. It just is not. And then when you get time, you get people around you, and then they want to know who you got, who you made out your will to. Then there's some troubles. What about, you see them on those ID Discover things. Here's the old boy, marries a younger, good-looking woman. And the first thing she wants him to do is buy that $1 million insurance policy and make me the beneficiary. Then the next thing, she's getting a hold of an old flame. Said, you know anybody that'll do a job for me? I want him to knock my husband off. And they do it. They're all over the prisons. They ought to be in the electric chair or the hangman's noose. But they murder their husband or their wife to get their insurance. It ain't smooth sailing with money, with the great treasure. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Bring it down to even a more common, realistic level. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is. Now, dinner of herbs. Now, there's lots of herbs on the market and all that, and I don't know them all. But that's also a word for greens. Now, I don't know about y'all. I like greens. My wife has made sure I like greens. I like turnip greens. I like collard greens. And I'll tell you, Shoney's down there in Elizabethtown, I don't know if it's still working, if it's still open or not. They had absolutely the best collard greens I ever ate in my life on that buffet. I don't know whether they still do or not. I like kale, mustard greens, and my dear mother, the spring of the year, you'll see her out there picking dandelion greens. And she'll pick her some young, tender poke. And she'll put them all together, and she'll cook her up a pot of dandelion greens and poke. She'll have a mess of greens, hard-boiled eggs and vinegar, cornbread. Getting hungry, are you? And especially if you've got that kind of dinner with love, it is better than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. You got a stalled ox. That's a great big muscular cow. And if you got him put up in the stall, you're topping him off. You're making sure you got that marble and fat and all that stuff, and going to make some humongous steaks and prime rib and all that stuff. Good stuff. But he says if there's hatred in that house, that meat ain't going to do you a bit of good. It won't do you near as much good as that dandelion greens and poke. You like poke salad? With love, it'll do you a whole lot more good. Well, look at Daniel and three Hebrew children. Refuse the king's food. Now, a king in Persia or Babylon, they had the best of everything that was available. And if it wasn't available, they'd send and get it. They had everything. just like the rich do today. But you know, my brethren said, no, we don't want the king's food. We'll take the pulse. Now, I don't know for sure what that pulse was, but it sounded to me something like bean soup. Probably brown beans, black beans or something. Wasn't much. But did you know they fared better on that than the king's people did on the good stuff? God made that stuff work good. Never bad to choose the Lord. Never bad. Now, a wrathful man stirreth up strife. You know what strife is? It's fussing and fighting. Most fussing leads to some kind of fight. And a wrathful man stirs it up. But he that is slow to anger appeases strife. Now, that doesn't say he's a coward. Not a coward at all. I think you're a fool to always want to fight. You can get in a lot of trouble fighting. I mean, really? You ain't that bad. You can't whoop everybody. I mean, that next one you look at might be able to knock your block off. I ought to be careful about fighting. And there's some women you can't mess with. I mean, they'll knock your block off real quick. He that is slow to anger appeases strife. That doesn't mean he's a coward or he's an idiot. He's slow to anger. And you know, if you try to handle an issue and you're angry, you're going to mess it up one way or another. Cool it. Think. And you can put number one over here at number one. Number two over here at number two. Number three back there at number three. And number four back there. And get them all situated right. And the next thing you know, there's no more strife. Now we got peace. I think it's okay. All right, I'll start with verse 19.